Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And welcome back to Meeting of the Minds. Today, we're starting our mental and emotional health series. I'm here with a great friend, a longtime mindset guy, Nick Perilla. Awesome guy. We're going back a long way, like I said. And he wants to share his story about mental and emotional health, overcoming coping strategies. We're just excited to have him. Nick, thank you for joining us.
Hello, how are you? Hello, everybody. Mr. Zanetti pointed out, I've talked to him for what it's been a while. I wrestled, started back in third grade. I stopped at around college. I'm excited to be here.
Excellent. Yeah, so we used to speak regularly, like almost probably once a week, right? Or every other week.
It was pretty frequent. Yeah.
Yeah. So now talk about how you started going into different, getting into lower areas with depression and everything with that, how things started going downhill.
So I'm going to backtrack a little bit. So for the last couple of years, when I wrestling turned into something that I loved to do to something that I was doing for other people. And it was starting to wear down. And, I always had that mindset of like, hey, if I quit, what's my coach going to think about it? What's my parents going to think? What's going to be that reputation on me? And, I had it put into my head that, if I quit, I'd live the rest of my life as a quitter. And so, and when I did finally quit wrestling in college, that's what I originally went to college for. 2 weeks in, I was like, I just can't do this. It's just way too much. And as a result, I quit. I got a lot of negative reactions, from different places, and it really tore me down. I went from, having, A's and B's to, showing up to class every day to now having, C's, D's and almost F's in some class, not showing up at all. I would be in my dorm room, for the majority of the day. And things went downhill. I remember at the end of my first semester in college, I went off winter break, I went back home and I was like, hey, you can't go back. And, with the friends that I had met, I was just like, I don't want to leave. I want to keep being there, but something clearly wasn't working, but I wasn't thinking straight enough at the time, to be thinking that way. So they eventually said, okay, well, you can go back. I went back and again, I was in the same place I was. I just wasn't me. Something wasn't right. I didn't know at the time what wasn't right, but everything was just going downhill. And then spring break, I remember spring break of 2016, we got back from spring break. Said, yeah, no, it's best that you don't go back. We're going to keep you here. And then a couple of weeks later, I was in the hospital for the first time.
Yeah. And what was it that was really dragging you down? Because of course there's wrestling, but there's obviously more going on. Yeah.
I think for me, it was my entire life. I'd always been taught, what to think. I never knew how to think for myself. That really caused a lot of problems. When I started learning how to think in college, what do I want? What does Nick Perilla want? What do I want to strive to do? What do I actually believe in? What do I actually think? And what am I believing right now just because somebody told me. And it, a lot of that was separating that. And if I did think differently to somebody else, how would they judge me? What would they think? And that was really, you know, a big crux to my problem.
That makes a lot of sense, because a lot of these things, what people need to realize, it's not just, these aren't surface level questions. This is, we're dealing with ultimate reality. And if we don't feel like we're solid with ultimate reality, there's no foundation.
No, there's not. No.
So there's big questions. And unfortunately, I think a lot of times kids struggle because we don't really know where to go. You know, we don't know who to ask and who we get good information from. There's so much information out there. And a lot of times the people that we ask the questions of, they don't really have the good answers, more than just believe because I say so. And that hurts a kid who really is, or not just a kid, a person who's really inquisitive. They're intellectually honest. They're open to learning, and they're just not being fed.
And that's exactly what happened to me. You know, it wasn't until I think it was 2018, you know, again, you know, I'd always been told, you know, what to think. So I never knew how to think. And I remember, 2018, I gotten halfway through a semester of a Proust class in math, and that class is entirely how to think and not what to think. You know, in Proust, they're like, hey, you've learned, you know, the quadratic formula is true. Now I'm going to show you how to find out that it's true and not just accept it as true. And when I started learning, you know, kind of how to say, okay, you know, I've been told something now. Okay, let's back up all the way to the bottom. Let's build back up and let's see if I can come to the same conclusion.
Right. No, that makes a lot of sense. And unfortunately, because we're such the philosophy is weak. I mean, in the past, I don't know if you're familiar how they used to educate people in the Middle Ages, but there was the trivium and then there's the quadrivium. The trivium was grammar, rhetoric, and logic. So before you could go on to the sciences, you need to be rock solid. You need to know grammar. Otherwise, you can't put together a proposition or a statement. And then if you're not able to evaluate an argument, logic and reason, you're not able to form a coherent thought. Mm-hmm. And you see that it's the effects on our society are very clear, because all of our different leaders on both sides of the spectrum get away with making statements that they're not logically consistent. So being able to evaluate a statement, evaluate a proposition, where is this person speaking just from emotion, and where does this actually make sense? That hits hard.
It does. I think, you know, a big part of it for me too, you know, was just identity. And then, eventually, you know, it got to, you know, a point in time where, you know, I think at the end of the day, I had eight hospitalizations. It was probably, you know, soon after, you know, like my third or fourth, like that idea of like learned helplessness started to settle in. And that, like, the moment that I feel bad, like, but, you know, it's like, there's nothing I can do. So I'm just going to sit in it. There's nothing I can do about it. It's not going to change. So, you know, might as well just sit here and do nothing. It's going to have the same effect, you know, if I go out and reach out to people. And that started what was, you know, ingraining into my mind. And it took a very long time to break out of that mold.
Right, right. Now, what would you say for kids and for people just in general who are in those low places? What are some of the signs that we should be looking for? How can people communicate with you effectively? Because I'm sure you had a lot of people who meant very well, trying to reach out, but didn't quite get you or get what to say to you. What do you think there?
Really, the big warning signs are when, like, for me, I had to realize, okay, what were the things that I loved doing? And, you know, for me, you know, it's going out and socializing with people. And like, I noticed that wasn't happening anymore. Everything's a balance. And if you're not doing something everything that helps maintain that balance, you know, from, you know, eating, and I'm not even going to say healthy, just, you know, just making, you know, making a good choice, you know, like something as simple as, hey, you know, I had a soda, let me drink two glasses of water before I have another one. Or, it's just simple things like that. If you're not taking care of yourself, then that's how you know things are starting to go downhill, and you need to kind of catch yourself and be like, okay, hold on, something's not right. I feel depressed today, or I feel down. Why do I feel down? I feel shame. Why do I feel this shame? You know, a lot of people just, or at least for me, I don't want to speak for everybody, but for me, you know, I would feel these things, but it would take me a while to actually question, okay, why do I feel this anxiety? Why do I have this fear? And when I actually look back and I say, oh, well, that's why. Okay, now is this something that I have control over? No. Okay, I'm going to have to accept it and move on. Is this something that I do have any amount of control over? Yes. How can I control it? And is it worth trying to control it, or should I just accept it and move on?
Right, right. And now, you being more of a deep thinker, you're able to evaluate those kind of things and assess that. You always had that hunger and that thirst for understanding the why. Mm-hmm. How are you like most people, or maybe different, or what are you, do you see different strategies for different personalities?
Honestly, since it's, you know, really recent that, you know, I'm just, you know, my head's starting, you know, get clear. For me, you know, DBT, I did DBT for several months, and that was really the core of what, or one of the core things that they would talk about, you know, like, all right, every single emotion that you feel, every single one doesn't happen for no reason. Are you happy? You're not happy for no reason. Are you sad? You're not sad for no reason. There is a reason why you're feeling what you're feeling. Question it, figure out what's working and what's not. They would say, you know, the line between, you know, between being in pain and being, you know, in suffering is the idea of acceptance. You know, is, you know, you can be in pain. Like, you know, a couple of weeks ago, you know, the holidays, I ended up alone because of some unfortunate circumstances. Yes, it was painful, but I was able to accept, okay, this is the way that it was. And I was able to just continue about my day like normal. Yes, it hurt, but, you know, it's, you know, emotions are one of those things that are always changing. You know, what you feel in one moment isn't what you're going to feel in the next.
Right. And I like how you brought up DBT, dialectical behavioral therapy. That mm-hmm. was actually founded by Marsha Linehan. I learned a lot about her mm-hmm. in my doctoral program. Yep. She actually went to Loyola University. So she must be familiar with this, with the spiritual exercises of St. Ignatius of Loyola. She said she had her big epiphany while she was praying in a chapel. She grew up Catholic also, but, with all that, you know, one of the things I really liked about DBT is I remember it addressing the whole person. It spoke about prayer. It spoke about rest and relaxation. It spoke about exercise. It spoke about nutrition. And exactly like you said, looking at the emotions and understanding that difference between pain and suffering, the acceptance, understanding yourself, and just really going after the emotions, like understanding the emotions, why you have them and what you could do with them. That it's not just the link between the thoughts and the behaviors, but also that emotions. Was that your experience that yeah. it was more of like a holistic type therapy?
It was, yes, for sure. And you know, we had nutritionists, we had we learned about learned a little bit in the CBT, you know, and cognitive distortions and, you know, and stuff like that. You know, I still am, you know, very black and white thinker. You know, it's either this way or this way, but not a lot of people are willing to look, oh, there's also this gray area in between, even if you don't think that there is, you know. And yeah, and that's something that, you know, that I still struggle with.
Yeah, definitely. And it's one of those things where I think when it comes to mindset, mental and emotional, it's hard looking at it black and white, because like I tell people, usually when we think about confidence or anxiety, you're not dealing with the number 0 or 100 on that scale. It's everything from 1 to 99. And it's not like things are cured, things are managed, right? So you get better control, but you never actually arrive at 100% or 0%.
Yeah, so, exactly.
Yeah, that's great stuff. And now talk about, so we see the CDC numbers were crazy. 1 out of 4 individuals, people between the ages of, 22, or between 18 and 24.
Yeah, I think so.
Contemplating suicide. And talk about that. So when you were going through that, when you had that ideation, what did you struggle with? And then how do you reach other people now and help them?
So I'm going to, you know, backtrack. I think it was 2016. I think it was 2016. Honestly, like, you know, the years just meshed together, but it was December of 2016. I remember, my parents had asked me to leave. We got into a little argument. And I was like, okay, well, I'm just going to leave. I didn't have anything. And I was starting to walk out the door. They're like, hey, you know, do you need don't you need bags and stuff? I'm like, no. And I remember walking down the highway, you know, I see, you know, trucks pass by, and I was looking back. I'm like, should I do it? And I remember, you know, the third one came by. I remember jumping in front. And I did get hit, you know, and, you know, it's that feeling of like just not having anything, and, you know, and being alone, and feel like you're stripped, just being like you're completely stripped. But, you know, I know now that, you know, I'm not alone. You know, one, you know, you just go into Google, type how many people are in the world, you know, you'll see 7 billion people. The odds, you know, if you ask even 3 people, I bet you at least one of them will help, probably all of them, in all honesty. You know, just just reach out. That was the hardest thing for me. When I was in Pennsylvania, they did an exercise where they're like, okay, we're going to put a blindfold on you. And there's this maze of ropes, and you have to have one hand on the rope. And, you know, when you come to an intersection, you can either, you know, branch off into, onto a different one, or you can keep going straight. It's just a maze, and you have to find your way out of the maze. And, you know, I remember, you know, I was going and, you know, and I was being stubborn. I was like, no, I'm going to figure out where this exit is. And they're like, hey, if you think you found the exit, just stop, raise your hand, and, you know, somebody will, you know, come to assist you. And if you need anything else at all, you know, same thing, just stop and just ask. And I was just like, no, I'm going to find this on my own. I have to do this on my own. And they started, you know, eventually got to the point, you know, everybody's like, hey, you know, a brother has come home, you know, all these people are finding this. I'm like, why can't I find it? And they started playing, you know, help somebody help. And I'm like, okay, well, let me just ask. I'm like, hey, you know, I asked if this was the exit. I asked about this. I'm like, well, you know, like what am I missing? And they're like, well, there's one thing you actually haven't asked for yet. And, you know, I think back to the song, I'm like, help. And they're like, are you asking me for help? And I said, yes, I am. And I remember he walked me out of that maze, and the message, I don't remember the exact words. I have it on my Facebook page, but he's like, don't dare minimize the power and importance of what you just did and ask for help. Asking for help is at the heart of our recovery. And, you know, and when you surrender control and you are vulnerable, that, and you ask for help, you found your way home. There was an exit to the maze, but it wasn't a physical one. It was a spiritual one.
Wow, that's great. So in Pennsylvania, that was a mental health facility, yeah, that was helping you navigate your the mental and emotional waters.
Exactly.
That's great. And such an important point that you said right there, just how many times we turn inward. And that's a lot of times what depression, these low areas of our life, depression, anxiety, we turn inward instead of outward, whether it's helping other people or asking for help, which is probably the most important four-letter word.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, so talk about how that's changed your life, being able to now ask for help, and just in general, not even in extremely bad situations, but just in general.
It helps that a lot. just being able to be like, oh, okay, well, you know, I don't know how to do this. And, you know, a lot of it was, you know, I'd have too much pride and be like, no, I'm good enough to figure it out on my own. Like, it does just create stress and anxiety that you don't need to be putting on yourself. Somebody else has the answer, and, you know, maybe even spent years trying to figure it out. Just talk to them. You know, you can sit back and, you know, reflect on what they're saying later, but, you know, I trust somebody who's been maybe it's work related, that's been there for 4 years, then versus me being there for, you know, just a couple months, or even when it comes to mental health, I'd much rather, you know, go to a friend, you know, even if they just say, hey, Nick, you know, we're just going to go play games. We're just going to, you know, with the intent of just distracting me, or, you know, like I trust, you know, those people and their support more than me being clouded in thought and not really understanding what's going on and, you know, settling myself down to be able to now think clearly and move forward.
Makes sense. Now, if you had to go back in time and talk to yourself before things started getting really bad, what would you say to yourself?
I would tell myself, you know, hey, look, what you're about to go through, you have to go through. You're not going to get to where you're going to be tomorrow without all these yesterdays. It's hard today, but when the day does come and everything, you know, starts to click and starts to fall into place, things will just turn out so much better for you. You know, I saw a quote that life is like a dark tunnel. And that, you know, you might not always see the light at the end of the tunnel, but if you just keep moving, you'll come to a better place. That you are in that dark tunnel and you don't see the light, but the light is there. So just keep moving.
Just keep moving. Excellent. And then your advice to a kid who right now is struggling, that 18 to 20, or really doesn't even have to be in that 18 to 24 bracket, but just a person, you've been through it. You know what it's like. You've gone through that dark tunnel.
Yeah.
And thank God came out the other end of it. So what do you tell them now?
You know, as I mentioned before, ask for help. It's hard to do. You think you're a burden. You think that you're causing problems and that you're an inconvenience. You're not. I promise you, you aren't. I've had people come to me for help now, and I'm just like, and they think that they're an inconvenience. I'm like, no, just call me anytime. You know, if I'm at work and, you know, and I get two phone calls from you, and I know that it's important, I will stop working and I will, you know, find time to make time for you. You're not an inconvenience. I'm willing to bet every dollar that I got that if you call your friend and you're like, hey, I need you to drop everything right now and help me because I'm in that dire straits, they will. you're not an inconvenience. You know, knowing me, I can adapt. If somebody needs help, I can adapt to, you know, what I may have lost, maybe working or what I'm doing right now to make sure that I still have this lifelong friend. Yeah. And, and so that's one thing. Another thing is, honestly, just as hard as it is, and it's not the easiest thing, just be happy. You know, like it's, you know, a lot of bad things are going to happen, but bad things happening doesn't make things bad. It's your attitude towards them that makes things bad. Okay, something bad happened. Okay, well, okay, crap, I can't do anything about it. So, you know, when there's like this tension, we have, you know, as humans, we have this tendency to go towards that tension and want to resolve it. But oftentimes we don't think, well, what happens if I just ignore the tension just to go do something else?
Ah, that sounds very DBT. Instead of fighting our thoughts and getting involved in that mental civil war in your head, you're changing your relationship to your thoughts and realizing I can choose to step back.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
That's great.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
And last thing that I want to say too is, while I think that everything does change, you know, I haven't really found many counterexamples to that. I think for me, you know, recognizing that my thoughts are going to change and that my emotions are going to change when I do get down, you know, for me, it's sobering to think, okay, you know, this is going to change. Just settle down, just relax. It's going to be painful for a little bit, but eventually, you know, your body is going to, you know, restore emotional equilibrium at some point. So you can go back and actually process what's going on.
Right. That's a big point. So many important points you hit on there that a lot of people don't realize that the studies show about our overall level of happiness and contentment, barring some kind of massive tragedy, most people restore to that equilibrium you mentioned in somewhere between 3 and 6 months. So like you said, trusting that your mind, your emotions, your body are going to naturally restore. Talk about that just a little bit more. That's important.
That's something that I actually realized this year. Like, well, like it's one of those things like I knew, but like, I didn't like really, you know, think about it. Or I didn't think it was that important, but just the idea that, hey, you know, I feel sad, you know, I feel sad right now. Something bad or, you know, something that I perceive as bad, you know, just happened. I remember thinking of stuff like even this year, I'll be like, you know, suicidal ideations, you know, would pop up very mildly. I'm like, no, I know that this is what I'm thinking now. I know that these are my emotions now. I know that this is my situations now, but I know that that's not going to be my thoughts, emotions, and situations later. And I'm like, all right, you know, it's really just accepting, okay, this happened. I know that my thoughts and emotions are going to change. I'm going to adapt. And that it might take some time, but you know, it's, you know, this is that time period is like, okay, you know, I know that this is going to change. I feel bad right now. What can I do right now to make myself happy? In the short term. So in the long run, I know that I'm going to feel better and be where I want to be.
That's phenomenal. That I was going to go into one of the other things you said, but I'm going to stick with that for a second that I learned from there was a psychologist, some kind of therapist. They were saying that, you know, when you're in a low mood, you have to be able to recognize when you're in a low mood, when you're at equilibrium. When you're in a low mood, don't make any decisions or make any kind of big choices at that moment. Do little things, just like you said, Nick, do little things to get yourself happy and to restore that equilibrium. And then you could go on to making the decisions and the choices because you're really not in the place to be doing that at that moment. So getting yourself, if we're at a -3, let's get ourselves back to 0, even if it's doing just little minor things to make ourselves happy, watching a funny movie, taking a bath. And that does it for me. I love that. So yeah. Whatever, little things to make you happy.
And one other thing too is, you know, I also noticed that, you know, when I was sad and down or, you know, I feel, you know, certain emotions, you know, like even something as simple as the music you're listening to. So like maybe you're listening to something like, you know, sad and depressing, change it to something upbeat and happy. Your body's going to naturally adjust to it. You know, if you're slumped over and your body posture is that of somebody that's sad and depressed, straighten up, you know, like just put yourself in a confident posture because your body's going to mentally just adjust to that opposite change that you're making. So, you know, your physical stature and, you know, your fit, like what you're doing physically and your physical surroundings are going to impact you mentally because your brain is going to adjust to that.
That's great. These are all gold nuggets of information. Like I hope when people watch this, they're using the notepad because like all those little points you're making, that's an entire lesson in and of itself. And the importance of our actions change our attitudes, our movements change our moods, right? Our emotions change our emotions. So just simply change the song, change the way you're sitting. That's great. One more point. I want to squeeze one more question out of you. One of the things you brought up before, I thought it was really profound about when you're asking for help, sometimes we feel like we don't want to be an inconvenience on others. Talk about maybe how to ask for help, and because there's a difference. There are some times where, okay, there's minor things going on that we kind of, you know, just get over it, right? But then there does come a point where this is not something where you just say, just get over it. This is a big deal. How do I ask for help, and how do I overcome that mental and emotional barrier of I'm being a nuisance to other people, or they really don't care, or I'm inconveniencing them? Talk about that. I know, broad. I basically hit you with a lot right there, but talk about that topic.
it's fine. I think when I used to, you know, like reach out for help, like it eventually just got to the point where, you know, like now I just text people. I'm like, hey, I'm feeling down. I need help. That's literally the text message that I send people now. And me and my friends, you know, at this point, you know, like we feel like me and my friends that have said, you know, like we can only do so much. So, you know, so instead of saying we're going to do everything that we can, we're going to do what we reasonably can. You don't, you know, when you reach out to somebody, if we now have the, you know, for us, we have the understanding of, hey, even if I am not able to help, whether it is because, you know, I actually don't, maybe I'm out of town, you didn't know it or something, I will help find you a means to get help. You know, just getting that, just initially reaching out is all you have to do. And you'll get the help that you need in some capacity. You know, it might not be, you know, from that one source that you wanted, but that one source will maybe, you know, go out and say, hey, mom and dad back at home, call Nick. He needs some help, and they'll call you. Somebody is always going to be willing to reach out for you, out to you, and we're going to be willing to help. And honestly, people want to help, you know, especially and when you build a relationship with somebody, they're not there just to, you know, be somebody you hang out with. I mean, you know, you do hang out with them, obviously, but they're also there, you know, for emotional support too. And, you know, you got to leverage every single aspect of your friendships and relationships.
Absolutely. And it would seem to make sense that these are people, it's not necessarily everyone or all friends, but there's certain key friends that you let them in, you let them know, hey, I struggle. Sometimes I get to these low areas of anxiety or depression, or I have thoughts of hurting myself. I need to be able to, you know, I'd like to be able to speak to you at different times. Can I reach out to you if I'm struggling? So this way they know they're not blindsided. Is that what you would say?
Yeah. I don't know. Like, it's really hard for me to answer, because like it's just something that just came over time of just, you know, learning that just that I'm just not an inconvenience. It really is a mindset. You know, when you start telling yourself, oh, I'm a burden, I'm an inconvenience, then you're not going to want to reach out. But when you start changing your mindset of, hey, I know people care about me and I'm not an inconvenience, and I'm, you know, it's one of those things that, like, as much as I hate to say, it really is one of those things that just comes with time, and you have to start training yourself. It's just training yourself to think differently. You know, you've been thinking one way this entire time, and you just really have to start telling yourself over and over again that that's just not the case and not true. You got to step back and check the facts.
Awesome. Nick, this is by far one of the most important, if not the most important interview we've ever done with Winning Mindset, because this really has such an impact on people. Of course, yeah, we love to see people succeed in sports and school and life, but success is a very far cry. Success is way distant to mental and emotional health, well-being, happiness, and just life lessons. So I really appreciate it, Nick. Thank you very much.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you for having me.
All right, great. We'll talk soon.
Have a good one. Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.